What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 321, episode 321 of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. This episode here, Super Bowl recap. Super Bowl recap. I'm going to throw some NBA talk in here. You know, it's some diva shit going on in the NBA that I need to speak about. That's very dear to my heart that I need to speak on. So I hope, you know, you LeBron stands already, because I'm going to have to voice my opinion on some shit. And I'm also going to throw, some WNBA talk, not that much, but you know, just a little bit of WNBA talk that I'm going to speak on. But first, let's get into order. Congratulations are in order to the Kansas City Chiefs on winning Super Bowl 58. They defeated the San Francisco 49ers last night. 25-22. Now, it's going to be a lot to unwrap here. Probably on this whole segment alone may take up about a half hour, because there's so much to unwrap with this. I will say this though. First half wasn't really that much to brag about, honestly. I think probably the only thing to really speak about in the first half was the aspect of that that fling flicker touchdown from Jennings to Christian McCaffrey. I honestly think that's the only highlight that to really speak about in the first half. If you was to tell me that the Super Bowl, the score would have been zip, zip going in to the second quarter, I would have thought you was lying. But that's exactly what happened. San Francisco didn't get on the board to the second quarter, and that was 3-0. And then later on, Christian McCaffrey had that, you know, that touchdown pass from Jennings, which was an amazing play. Now, all the momentum was on the Niners side. Now, unfortunately, somewhere along that line, Christian McCaffrey turned the ball over, which was kind of unfortunate, because I think had he not turned the ball over, I think San Francisco probably would have went down that field and scored something. I don't know if it would have been a touchdown or a field goal, but they probably definitely would have got some points on the board. And then the Chiefs wound up scoring just before halftime, which made it 10-3. Now the second half is when shit really, really started cooking. And listen, we can all sit here and try to break down quarter to quarter to quarter. But I'm really going to put everything in the vacuum right now. We're going to cut it. We're going to get straight to the meat and potatoes. For me, in my honest opinion, I think there was three reasons on why the Chiefs lost, I mean, the reason why the Niners lost this game. I think one of the reasons on why, one of the reasons for sure is why they lost this game was bad coaching. Andy Reid schooled Kyle Shanahan for the second straight time when they've met each other in the Super Bowl. I got a lot to say about Kyle Shanahan as well. We're going to get to that later. But see, for me, when that second half started, I don't know what it was with Kyle Shanahan, but he took away the running game. Everything was throw, 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 throw. They wasn't even running the ball that much in the second half. Okay? Especially in the third quarter. And then on top of that, it was too many three and outs. Too many three and outs. There was a key play where Patrick Mahomes threw an interception. First of all, Mahomes don't really throw interceptions that much, especially in big games. Especially in big games. So when you're able and when you're fortunate enough to get an interception off of Patrick Mahomes, you have to put points on the board. You just got to. And when Patrick Mahomes threw that interception in the second quarter, and the next possession, the 49ers didn't put no points on the board, that's when I knew they was in trouble. That's when I knew they was in trouble. Because in a situation like that, the game was already close. The game was already close. See, me and my honest opinion, if the game is close, you're playing right into Patrick Mahomes' hands. You're playing right into his hands. In order to beat him, you are going to have to beat shit down his leg, which is what Tampa did a few years ago, but that's neither here nor there. In order to beat this Chiefs team, you are going to have to beat shit down their leg. You cannot make this game close. You cannot let this game be close. If you do, you will lose. And that's exactly what happened with the San Francisco 49ers in this. So you got bad play calling, which I'm going to blame Kyle Shanahan for. Then you get basically those three and outs in that third quarter. That right there was a no. That right there was a dub. Now, see, for me, the turnover with the punt when the Chiefs punted the ball to the Niners and the ball basically hit, you know, one of the guys on the Niners. I can't really blame that on the special teams. I can't. Because, listen, once that ball hits the ground, you got to try to do everything you can to make sure that ball don't touch you. Even if it's an accident, if that ball hits you, it's considered a fumble. So I'm not going to really chalk that up on special teams, but I think it was very unfortunate that once they got that turnover, look exactly where Kansas City was. They was literally in the red zone once they got that turnover. And I kid you not, I'm at work with my coworker. We're seeing the play go down. And I told her, Kansas City about to win this game right now. They're about to win this game right now, just off that turnover. And what did they do? I kid you not. The next play, Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown to MVS, which made it 13-6. Even in that instant, I already knew, all right, Kansas City going to win this game. Kansas City is going to win this game. Now, yes, fourth quarter comes, San Francisco, they go down the field, they get a touchdown from Jennings, which makes it 16-13. It was supposed to be 17-13, but what happens? Blocked field goal. Once that happened, I definitely knew Kansas City was going to win this game. Once Mahomes scored that touchdown after the turnover, and then once Kansas City blocked that field goal, I said, yep, Kansas City is definitely winning this game. Because it's too many miscues that's now going on with the 49ers, and they're going to have nobody to blame but themselves for this. So you got that going on. Kansas City goes down, gets a field goal, ties the game 16-16. This was the key right here. This right here was the key. When the San Francisco 49ers had a little over 5 minutes left in the game, once Harrison Butker kicked that field goal, which made it 16-16, I don't know who it was that was on that Niners bench or on that sideline. I don't know how any of them did not say, we got to keep this ball from Mahomes. We cannot let him get this ball back in this fourth quarter. We got to take this, we got to kill this clock, get as many first downs as we can, and keep that clock moving and have them waste timeouts. And that did not happen. And I kid you not, again, I'm watching this game at work. We wasn't busy. So I was able to watch the game, you know, chilling out with my coworkers. We sitting there kicking it, watching the game. And I'm saying to myself, in that situation, I said they got to keep Mahomes on that sideline. They cannot let him get back on that field. If they let him get back on the field, the Chiefs are going to win this game. And what happened? Brock Purdy didn't deliver. He didn't deliver. Now, as much as we all... Now, first of all, let me just say this. I believe Brock Purdy played a okay game. If I had to put a grade on him, I would say he got a C-. C-. He had a C-minus performance. Now, yes, 255 yards, one touchdown. He didn't turn the ball over. I get all of that. That all looks good. But see, here's the thing, though. There was three plays, three key plays, where you had the player in the end zone, and you overthrew him. Now, do I want to give Chris Jones, the Chiefs defender, some credit? Because he basically was the reason on why that happened. But honestly, going back and watching some of those plays, I'm like, yo, you had to get it to that guy. You had to get it to him. You had to get it to him. And he just couldn't get the job done. He just couldn't get the job done. Now, I know one person that's ecstatic with this, and that's Cam Newton. Because Cam Newton was the one that made that statement a few weeks ago talking about he's a game manager. Well, guess what? With this performance, that's exactly what it's going to look like. It's going to look like you was a game manager. But again, once Kansas City tied that game and the Niners had 5 minutes to go, their job was to run that clock and keep Patrick Mahomes on that sideline. They was not supposed to let him get that ball back. And on third, I think it was 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 4, Brock Purdy tried to throw a slant. The ball got deflected. And once that happened, I said game over. Game over. I said the Chiefs are going down there to score a touchdown. Now, unfortunately, it wasn't a touchdown. Now, I thought it was going to be because I don't know what it was with Kelce in the first half, but I think dude only had one catch for, I think, what, 1 yard or some shit like that? Now, we all saw the clip with him bumping into Andy Reid and him yelling in his face and shit like that. We've seen him do that before. I think it was the Christmas game against the Raiders. So this wasn't the first time we've seen him done. We've seen him do this. Now, for some people, they said, oh, he was being disrespectful to the coach, yada, yada, yada. Okay, you could deem it as that. But if that's the relationship that they have amongst each other, then if Andy Reid didn't have an issue with it, then, hey, we shouldn't have an issue with it either. But, again, going back to that situation, they were supposed to keep Patrick Mahomes on that sideline. He was not supposed to come back into that game. And once he did, I knew right then and there, game was over. Now, did I think it was going to go into overtime? No. I thought Kansas City was going down there to get a touchdown. Because the way Patrick Mahomes was flinging that ball, especially in that last drive, I thought, yeah, yep, definitely, they're going to win this game. Now, surprisingly so, it went into overtime. And even when it went into overtime, I said the Chiefs was going to win. Like, it was already in my mind that they was going to win this game because the Niners had too many opportunities. For the game to be that close, they had too many opportunities. But see, as much as I want to say the Niners lost this game, I also got to say that Patrick Mahomes won it. Because listen, these type of situations, this is what he craves for. I think this shit is a turn on for him. Like, I honestly think that he'd rather be in these situations. I think he'd rather be in a close game situation as opposed to being in a blowout. Because he won this game for his team. whether it was throwing the ball or running it, because he had close to 70 yards rushing. He had 333 yards, two TD passes, and again, he had almost 70 yards rushing. We got to give him his props. Kelce did his thing too. Like I said, he probably only had 1 yard in the first half. And then in the second half, I don't know what it was, and he woke up and smelled the coffee. That's what you want. You want your leaders to be the forefront of you winning this game. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. So as much as I want to say that the Niners blew this game, because at the end of the game, I honestly think they blew this game. I honestly think they did. This was the second time they had a chance to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And both times they choked. Both times they underperformed. Both times. But we got to give props to Patrick Mahomes. We just got to. The dude is special. The dude is the real deal. Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say he's the GOAT, because I still say that's Brady. Like, I had a conversation with my little homie on the train ride home. We going back and forth, and he just texted me and said, "I'm sorry, big homie. Conversation is over now. Mahomes is the GOAT." So I just wrote in caps, "Nope. Nah, he's still not the GOAT. Still not. He got to win more." Now, his resume is amazing. Like, his resume is on par. The dude got 3 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 regular season MVPs in this short span in his career so far. But see, it's about longevity. What else can you do? Because let me knock on wood. God forbid he get hurt next year. Not to say that he will, but let's do the hypothetical. Let's say he get hurt next year. Let's say he get an injury where he out for the rest of the year. Then what happens? Who knows how he recovers from that injury? We don't know. Like, it's too early to throw him in that GOAT conversation. The resume looks amazing, no doubt. Can't take that away from him. Travis Kelce, same thing. All the talks about greatest tight ends in history. Oh, he's definitely in that conversation. Definitely. I mean, for me, you got Shannon Sharp, Gronk, Travis Kelce, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates. For me, that's the Fab Five when it comes to tight ends. Shannon Sharp, Gronk, Kelce, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates. That's the Fab Five for me. Now, where do I rank them? For me, where do I rank the tight ends? I definitely know the big three is Gronk, Uncle Shea, and Kelce. That's the big three. Reason being is because they won. They got 3 to 4 Super Bowls each. Gronk has 4, and then Kelce and Uncle Shea got 3. I can't put Tony Gonzalez there. I can't put him as the GOAT. He ain't win nothing. It's that simple. And then now with the coaches, you throw Andy Reid. He has 3 Super Bowls now. So, of course, where do you put him in the echelon of coaches? Is he on the Mount Rushmore of NFL coaches? Because some may have Belichick. Well, ain't no some may have Belichick. We're going to have Belichick. You can't have the Super Bowl. You can't have the Super Bowl trophy named Vince Lombardi and not have him on there. So you got Lombardi, then you got Coach Belichick, then who? Chuck Noll, Tom Landry, Andy Reid. Where does he fall on that Mount Rushmore? Now, me personally, I'm going to put him on mines. Reason being is because I grew up watching him. Now, yes, he didn't have no success in Philly. He had to get Patrick Mahomes to get these three rings. But, hey, he got him. He got him. So we got to give him his props. We got to give him his props. So he's definitely on my Mount. He's definitely on my Mount Rushmore of coaches. For sure, for sure. Now, as much as I just spoke about Andy Reid, I think it's only right that I speak about Kyle Shanahan. I think it's about time we throw that O word at him. You know that O word that we throw to Doc Rivers? You know that O word that we throw to Mike McCarthy? You know that O word that we throw to a lot of these coaches that really think that good of coaches, but when it comes to big moments, when it comes to big games, they choke? Well, guess what? Kyle Shanahan has done that three times now in his career. He's done that three times. We all remember him being the offensive coordinator for the Falcons and the Patriots when the Patriots came back from 28-3. We all remember that Super Bowl a few years ago with these same two teams, with the Chiefs and the Niners, and what did he do? He had a 10-plus point lead in the fourth quarter and choked it away. And now you have this. You had a 10-point lead. But see, my whole thing is that 10-point lead, I can't really throw the umph on him on that one because it was so early in the game. But he did have a 10-plus point lead in that last Super Bowl, and he damn sure had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. So I can't really, I don't really want to put the umph on a 10-point lead in this game because it was so early in the game. But even so, it was so many miscues in that game that I got to throw the onus on him. And I just spoke about them. You got to throw him in that category now. We got to put him in that category now. He is overrated as a head coach. I get he's second generation. His father, Mike Shanahan, won two Super Bowls with the Broncos back in the day. I get all of that. But guess what? He ain't won yet. So it's about time we start throwing that overrated shit on him as well. It's too many coaches that get the that. It's too many coaches out there that get all this love and aspiration, and when it comes time to the big games, they underperform, they underdeliver, and guess what? Kyle Shanahan has done that three straight times. Three times. You get the point. So we got to throw him in that category. But listen, for me, it was a good game. It was a real good game. It was a real good game. The defenses really did they shit that first half. Whether it was the Niners or the Chiefs, again, if you would have told me that this game was zip-zip in the first quarter, I would have thought you'd have been bullshit, because I thought at least one team would have at least got something on the board. And nobody did. Now, yes, Patrick Mahomes did win MVP. Hardman did catch the game-winning touchdown. All those things is true. But I also think the unsung hero in this game is Chris Jones. Now, remember, when the season first started, he didn't play. Remember, he was sitting out because he wanted that new contract. In the first game of the season, I believe they played the Lions. Homeboy was in the attendance watching his team. And they lost that game. And I think a few weeks later, the Chiefs said, you know what? We got to pay him his money. And guess what? His performance in this Super Bowl, because with his defense and him rattling Brock Purdy in the pocket and have him scramble and have him throw the ball and have him miss his receivers, you can make a case that two of those three plays
him doing that saved the Niners from getting a touchdown. So as much as Patrick Mahomes, you know, won this game, he's also the unsung hero in this game. Definitely got to give him his props. Definitely. But yes, overall, wonderful game. Wonderful game. I was very entertained, especially with the second half. Because again, the first half, it wasn't really that much action. Christian McCaffrey did his thing. Deebo did his thing to a degree, even though he got hurt. But I want to give him his props for even coming back in the game. Because usually when you get a hamstring injury, you don't come back in the game. But he managed to do that. So I got to give him his props for that. Jennings did his thing. I honestly think if the Niners would have won this game, I think the MVPs would have either been Christian McCaffrey or Jennings. It wouldn't have been Brock Purdy. It would have been one of those two. But I definitely enjoyed the game. Now, I got to speak about the halftime show. I got to speak about the halftime show. Now, shout out to Usher. Usher did his thing. Usher did his thing, which I was not surprised. And what I loved about it was he brung people out. See, this wasn't like Rihanna last year. Now, as much as I love me some Rihanna, I think the one thing that I despised about that performance last year was that she didn't bring nobody out. Because usually when people have halftime shows, they have people come out with them. You have somebody share the moment with you. You can't just do it by yourself. Now, I told my colleague this at work because we was talking about the Rihanna concert. Well, the Rihanna halftime show last year. And I said, well, technically she did bring somebody out. She brought her kid out. Her unborn child. Remember, she performed pregnant. But come on, Rihanna got some hits where she could have brung somebody out. I know one person in particular, Jay-Z, with all the songs they did together, but that's neither here nor there. This is about Usher. My boy Luda came out, which I suspected he was coming out. And I also suspected that Lil Jon was coming out. Even though the reports came out a few days before the Super Bowl where they said that they was coming out, I already knew that they was coming out. Once they said that Usher was going to perform at the halftime show, I knew they was coming out because I knew he was going to do Yeah. He had to do Yeah. You couldn't leave that off your playlist. You just couldn't. Now, what I didn't know was that Alicia Keys was going to be there. Now, I didn't figure that out until a few days prior. And I tell you what, with that outfit that she had on, thank God she came out. Because Alicia Keys looked amazing on that stage. She looked stunning. Now, yes, she did fuck up a note. She did fuck up a note. I got to throw that in there. But I was very impressed with what I saw from her. She looked amazing on that stage. Now, yes, the elephant in the room was the way her and Usher was hugged up on each other. Now, of course, you're going to have those people. Usher has no regard for married women. Which is true. Listen, the man said it in his song. Don't leave your girl around me, true player for real. Don't leave your girl around me. Don't leave your wife around me. Do not leave your woman around Usher. Because he is going to put his hands on her. He going to wrap his arms on her. He going to make her feel good. Listen, Alicia Keys was smiling from cheek to cheek. I didn't see her smile that hard in Lord knows how long. And it took for Usher to do that. Now, me personally, I would have had to tell Usher before this concert, like, yo, listen, you better not hug my wife on that stage. You can perform with her. You can do all this all you want. But you better not hug my woman on that stage. Especially the way he did. Like, come on, man. Like, come on now. No regard for married women. None. Now, for me, out of everything in that performance, now, again, Usher did an amazing job. Amazing job. I heard some people saying it was the greatest Super Bowl performance ever. I wouldn't go that far. I still remember Michael Jackson. I still remember Beyonce. I still remember Prince. Do I put this concert up there? Yes, but do I say it's the best? No. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't Dre, Snoop, Eminem, Kendrick, Mary, and 50 perform a few years ago too? Yeah, I throw that in there too. Exactly. So no, I'm not putting this as the greatest halftime show ever. Is it up there? It's in the conversation, but it ain't numero uno. No. But for me, the highlight was when Her came out. That's right, Her. H-E-R, when she came out. Because she killed it on that guitar. She bodied it. Okay? So, to see her on that stage with Usher, amazing. I loved it. For me, that was the highlight. Watching her on that stage. You understand what I'm saying? Jermaine Dupri came out. I mean, I don't know what the fuck he was wearing, but hey, I love the fact that Usher brung people out there. Because on that stage, as much as you are the marquee, you don't want to shit. You don't want to have that moment to yourself. You definitely want to have some people come out there with you. And I love the fact that Usher was able to say, you know what? As much as this is about me, as much as this is my halftime show, I want to bring some people out there with me. And why not bring, you know, my people from the A? Now, Her is not from the A. She's from the Bay. But she definitely did her thing on that stage. She definitely did her thing. Definitely. So, all across the board, I was very much impressed. I was very much impressed. Very much impressed with the game, even though the Niners, in my opinion, gave it away. But again, shout out to Patrick Mahomes. He is in that conversation as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of this game. I'm never going to put him number two. Number one. I'm never going to put him there. He could win. He has three already. He could fuck around and win five or six, and I still won't put him in that category. He's in the conversation. He's at the table. But he'll never be at the head of the table. For me, it's going to always be Tom Brady. And the reason being is because Tom Brady already beat him in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady has beaten him twice in two key games where it's mattered the most. Now, just off that alone, game over. Conversation over. Even Mahomes said it. I'm paraphrasing, but it's hard to say that when Brady has beat me in the Super Bowl. This what came out of his mouth. I didn't say that. He said that. So, yeah, with his resume right now, he's definitely in the conversation. He could be in the conversation, yes. But he will never be number one for me. Never. It's going to be Tom Brady. It's going to always be Brady. And I'm going to say that until they bury me or they put me in the urn. But yeah, man, yeah, I honestly think that the Niners, yeah, they dropped the bag on this on so many occasions. So many occasions they dropped the ball. Like you could even go to the overtime. You win the coin toss and you only get a field goal out of it. Now, again, even with the new rule, right? Had the Niners scored a touchdown, the game wouldn't have been over. The Chiefs wouldn't have been able to go down there and do some shit. And they would have definitely had to get a touchdown. Because a field goal wouldn't have done it. They would have had to get a touchdown. So you choose to get the ball, but then bam, you only get a field goal out of it. Field goals is not going to beat Patrick Mahomes. You need touchdowns. You need to put 7 points on the board to beat this dude. It's that simple. It's that simple. 3 for 12 on third downs. Horrible. So, yeah. There you have it. There you have it. So, once again, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, I picked them to win before the season started. When I did my prediction episode for the start of the season, I picked them to win. But I'm not going to lie to you. In my heart, I wanted the Niners to win. And the reason I wanted them to win was because I was tired of the whole Taylor Swift frenzy that was going on. Now, of course, y'all know I couldn't go without speaking about that. I can't even count how many times they showed this girl on the big screen. Now, yes, Ice Spice was there as well. I don't know why, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, they showed her too much for my liking. It's like every time Kelce caught a pass, they showed her. When the Chiefs scored a touchdown, they showed her. I'm like, oh my God, here we go with this shit again. And guess what? That parade that's going to happen in Kansas City, I'm sure she's going to be there. I'm sure she's going to be there. But I ain't going to spend that much time speaking about her. Again, she has an amazing talent. She is talented. She's an amazing artist. But I just didn't like the fact that they kept shoving her down our throat, honestly. You go on the NFL page, they showing her showing up to the stadium. They showing her in the suite. This is an NFL page. Show the highlights. Show clips of players walking, you know, through the tunnel, or show clips of the game, or show pics of the game. Why are you showing her for? Come on, man. Ah, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man. But enough of that. I gotta speak on some NBA shit. And LeBron fans, buckle up, because this is definitely to y'all. Because I honestly think, I think I need to speak to y'all, man, LeBron James. I really do. Now, a few days ago, to be exact. The Kobe Bryant statue was revealed, right? One of three, for that matter. Kobe's going to be the first player to have three statues. I think this statue that was revealed was when he scored his 81 points against the Raptors. With him, you know, pointing up at the sky as if he's Roman Reigns and the ones, right? Then the other statue was going to be him and his daughter, Gianna. And then the other statue was going to be with him wearing number 24. So the Black mom was going to have three statues, right? Very well deserving. Now, this statue reveal takes place, and it was exclusively for the Lakers. Jeannie Buss was there. Rob Pelinka was there. Phil Jackson was there. Derek Fisher was there. Pau Gasol was there. Jerry West was there. Magic Johnson was there. former Lakers, right? Even current Lakers were there. Austin Reeves, Darvin Ham, who's the Lakers coach. All of these people was there, right? But there was one notable person that didn't show up. Do y'all see where I'm going here? You guessed it. That would be LeBron James. Now, I posed this question on my Facebook page, right? And the question that I asked was, this is a question that I posted a few days ago. A few days ago, I posted this question. Why LeBron wasn't at Kobe's statue reveal? Please, LeBron fans, explain this shit to me. How is he the face of the current Lakers and he's not there to give respect to the late, great Kobe Bryant? Now, you're supposed to be not only the face of the league, but you are the face of the franchise that you are playing for. And you mean to tell me that you couldn't show up to Kobe Bryant's statue reveal? Now, I want y'all to Now, I'm going to read these comments from my guys, right? My boy Chris LeBron, he said, why are you mad at LeBron? It's a day to celebrate Kobe and people are mad at LeBron. That's lame. No, it's not lame. It's not lame at all. Because guess what? This is a recurring thing when it comes to your boy LeBron. If it doesn't fit him, he don't give a fuck. If it's not about him, he don't give a fuck. Now, as much as you said you loved Kobe, as much as you say you revered Kobe, now, obviously everybody revered Michael, but listen to his interviews on how much he said he loved Kobe. If you loved Kobe like you say you did, why wouldn't you show up to this? Why wouldn't you? Don't give me no shit about, oh, he got to prepare for the game. Because mind you, they played the Nuggets that same night. Don't give me that shit because I just mentioned to you current Lakers that were there. You mean it's the statue of Veer couldn't have been no more than 20 minutes to a half hour. And you mean to tell me that you couldn't go there to pay respects to Kobe Bryant? Don't give me no shit about, oh, he got to prepare for the game. Ain't nobody trying to hear that shit, dog. Nobody trying to hear that. Nobody is trying to hear that. Okay, so Chris LeBron, you my man, Off the Ball Podcast, Off the Ball Network, I love y'all, but ain't nobody jacking that right there. My bro, Rashawn, why should LeBron be there? He's going to see the statue every home game. You see what's going on here? LeBron fans, LeBron stands making excuses for him. But see, this is a recurring thing when it comes to LeBron. Excuse after excuse after excuse. My boy, Reginald, it's just a statue. Let me know what other Lakers stars were there versus weren't. I just told you all the Laker people that were there. Now, somebody said, oh, Anthony Davis wasn't there. We're not talking about Anthony Davis. We're talking about LeBron James. For somebody who's supposed to be the face of the Lakers, you can't be there? You can't be there. That's like back in the day, that's like them honoring Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson don't be there. For real? Like, come on now. For real? Are we serious here? But see, again, this is a recurring thing when it comes to LeBron James. And this is a recurring thing when it comes to his fans. They constantly make excuses for the man instead of calling him out on his bullshit. But see, that's what I'm about to do. I'm about to call him out on it. And again, I love LeBron James. I respect him. He's one of my favorite players of all time. He's definitely in my top five of all-time players. I will not put him number one.
That would be Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I'm not putting him, I'm not even putting him above Kobe.
Miss me with the stats. Miss me with it. Yes, he has four MVPs. Yes, he's the all-time leading scorer. I get all of that. But in my eyes, he will never be better than Kobe. And maybe this is why the reason is that he didn't show up. It's because maybe it's because he's jealous of Kobe. Is that probably what it is? Because again, like I said, this is a recurring thing when it comes to LeBron James.
This is a recurring thing. Do we all remember Kobe Bryant's memorial service? I know it's not something that we want to dwell on. I know it's not something that we want to remember. But there was a certain someone that wasn't there for that either. That would be LeBron James. Nope, he did not show up to Kobe's memorial. But guess who was there? Shaq was there. Jordan was there. Diana Taurasi was there. All the Laker greats that you can think of was there. Hell, even Steph Curry was there. And you mean to tell me that the face of the league and the face of the Lakers couldn't be there to honor Kobe Bryant at his memorial service? Now, you let his fans say it. Oh, he didn't want to take the attention away from the task at hand. He didn't want to make it about him. Oh, no. We'd have respected you more had you been there. But you didn't go. Why didn't you go? Because you're jealous of Kobe. We now fast forward to this. Why didn't he go to this? Oh, he probably was. Oh, why does he need to be there? Why does he need to be there? I just told y'all asses why he should have been there. You're the face of the Lakers. Why would the face of the Lakers, current Lakers, not be there to honor the late, great Kobe Bryant, who was also a Laker? Why wouldn't you be there for that? I tell you why you wouldn't be there for that. Because you're jealous of Kobe. Kobe been gone for 4 years. The Lakers will always be Kobe's town. Well, L.A., let me say that. L.A. will always be Kobe's town. Always. Now, forgive me for saying this, but LeBron can go visit Kobe's gravesite. Stand on it. And Kobe Bryant, 6 feet under, will still be above LeBron in L.A. It's that simple. L.A. will never be LeBron's town. It's going to always be Kobe's town. LeBron can fuck around and win another ring, and it still ain't going to be enough. Because guess what? Kobe got 5 of those things. And let's keep it all the way 100. When LeBron made the decision to go to the Lakers, Lakers fans wasn't too thrilled with that. Remember, they tried to make murals, and they all got destroyed. They wasn't happy to have LeBron out there. He's jealous of Kobe. It's that simple. But see, like I said, when it doesn't fit him, he doesn't care. Remember, he did the same thing to his man, Dwayne Wade. Remember when Dwayne Wade got inducted into the Hall of Fame? What was that, last year? He got inducted with who? Coach Pop, Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki, Becky Hammon. Dope Hall of Fame class, right? And then you include him. And his own man, one of his closest confidants, the Banana Boat crew. LeBron couldn't be there for the Hall of Fame? Now, his apologist would say, oh, he just had, you know, something happened with Bronny. He couldn't be there. Now, I'm glad everything is okay with Bronny. He's doing fine at USC. Me personally, I think he should stay another year. I don't think he's NBA ready. But again, with that new rule, he's only going to be one and done. Somebody is going to draft him this upcoming draft because he's only going to do 1 year. But even with that,
Even if you throw that excuse around, it's still bullshit because a few days afterwards, you was at a Drake concert in Toronto. So you could show up to a Drake concert in Toronto a few days after what happened to Bronny, but you couldn't show up to Dwayne Wade's Hall of Fame speech? Is it because he said Michael Jordan is the GOAT? That's why you didn't go? I'm just asking.
I'm just asking. Your man LeBron is a diva. There's no other way around it. He's petty and he's a diva. It is that simple. There's no other way around it. And the more his fans sit back and defend him, makes it even worse. Again, he will never be the GOAT in my eyes. Never. Is he one of the greatest players ever? Yes, absolutely. I'll be an idiot to sit here and say that he's not. But he is never going to be the GOAT. He's never going to be that. Because that spot is for Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and it will always be his spot. Simple and plain. Simple and plain. Now let's get to some WNBA talk. We are in the offseason, and a couple of free agencies and trades have taken place. Now, I'm not going to sit here and speak on all of them, but I am going to speak on the big ones, right? Nneka Nwumike spent her whole career in L.A. She announced that she was leaving L.A. and testing free agency. Now, there were rumors that she might join the Sky. There was rumors that she might join the Mercury. Last week, she was at a Liberty game sitting courtside with Breonna Stewart and Lainey of the Liberty. So, of course, when you see that, of course the rumor mill is going to say, oh, she's joining the Liberty. She's joining the Liberty. Not true. She announced last week that she was signing with the Seattle Storm. Now, mind you, the Seattle Storm had just picked up Skylar Diggins in free agency. After the drama that she dealt with in Phoenix last year, she's now with Seattle. So now she's paired up with her fellow Notre Dame Fighting Irish alum, Gold Mama, Joy Lloyd. So now you have Lloyd. Now you have Skylar. And now you have Nwumike, Nneka. We're looking at a new big three in the WNBA. Do I think this makes them a playoff team? If healthy, absolutely. Absolutely. Because Joy Lloyd, you could have threw her in the MVP conversation last season. The only problem was she didn't have no help. Now she got help. Tina Charles, who was the 2012 WNBA MVP, she has decided to join the Atlanta Dream. Me personally, I was kind of hoping that she would go to a veteran team. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. I'm just glad that she's still playing and at a high level for that matter. Now, Stewie and Jonquel Jones technically are still free agents. But I think they're both staying put in with the Liberty. I don't see them going anywhere else. I honestly don't. Especially with Nneka not going to the Liberty, I think it's safe to say that the Liberty are going to do everything in their power to keep Stewie and Jonquel Jones. So I honestly don't think they're going anywhere. I don't. Elena Deladon has decided to take some time away from basketball. Now, for years, she's been suffering with injuries. For years, she's been suffering with injuries. And then Listen, one of the greatest players in the history of the WNBA. World champion, MVP, two-time MVP for that matter. World champion. She was a part of the 50-40-90 club. If you don't know what that is, 50% from the field, 40% from the tray, 90% from the free throw line. She's in that class. She's taking some time off. And then, of course, my girl, Candace Parker. She has announced that she will play. She is staying put with the Aces. She signed a one-year deal. But see that? I'm not surprised with that. With the season that she had last year, well, with the uncertainty of the season that she had, remember, she had that surgery, I think, in June or probably July, and basically sat out the rest of the year. So she watched the Aces win the WNBA championship without her. I didn't think that was going to be the end for her. I definitely knew she was going to come back, and I definitely knew that she was going to stay with the Aces because with the competitor that she is, that I know her of, as well as I know her, as far as being a fan of hers, a diehard fan of hers. I'm a Candace Parker guy, and has been since she's been in high school. That's how far back I've gone with watching her, if y'all haven't noticed that by now. I'm quite sure her watching the Aces win that championship without her definitely put some rage in her. Now, I'm sure she's happy they won, but I'm sure she might have wanted to contribute to that. But see, this is how great she is, and see, this is how much of a leader she is. She could have easily said, you know what? Season is over. I'm going to just sit home. Nope. What she did was she supported her team. She supported them throughout the whole WNBA playoffs. She sat behind the bench. She cheered them on. Hell, there was even times she was even coaching them. Becky Hammon took a seat back and Candace was coaching them. Whether she was coaching Asia Wilson, whether she was coaching Chelsea Gray, Kelsey Plum, Kia Stokes, she was coaching that team. That's what you want out of your leader. So now she has agreed to come back for one more year. I honestly think this is her last year. Now, all praises to God, she has a successful season where she does not sustain a big injury. Do I think she's going to miss games this upcoming season? Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, with the Olympics taking place, they're going to have a break anyway. She's definitely going to miss some games. As long as it's nothing crazy to where she misses the whole season or miss the rest of the season, as long as she's around for the Aces for their championship run, especially in the playoffs, because we all know they're going to the playoffs. Let's get that out the way. They are definitely going to the playoffs. Remember, they didn't lose anybody. They didn't lose nobody in the offseason. Their role players are still there. They didn't lose nobody. They ain't gained nobody. Their team is still set. So you can make a case that they are the heavy favorites to get back to the WNBA Finals and win it all. Heavy favorites. So yeah. There you have it. That is basically... Oh, no. I forgot. Kalia Copper, WNBA champion with the Chicago Sky a few years ago with my girl Candace Parker and WNBA Finals MVP. She was traded to the Phoenix Mercury in exchange for 4 draft picks, including the number one pick, the number 3 pick in this year's draft. And then I believe Dawana Bonner and Brianna Jones, they signed on to stay with the Connecticut Sun. So their team is still set. Diamond DeShields going back to Chicago. I believe she was drafted by them, won a championship with them in 2021. So, yes, she's going back there as well. So, yeah, those are basically the moves right now in this young free agency. Mariah Jefferson, I forgot about her. She, going back to Connecticut. So, yeah, those are basically the moves that's worth talking about in the WNBA. Natasha Cloud, I forgot about her. Signs with the Phoenix Mercury. Now, listen, we don't know what's going to happen with Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner. Now, it's safe to say that Brittany Griner, she's a free agent, but I believe it's safe to say that she's staying in Phoenix. World champion. Obviously, we all know what happened with her being detained in Russia and Phoenix doing their due diligence to support her through that trial and tribulation. I don't see her leaving Phoenix. I think just off that alone, I believe she's staying there. With Natasha Cloud now going to Phoenix, with Taraji still being there, Taraji still being there, the White Mamba, with Brittany still being there. If they can stay healthy, oh yeah, I could definitely see Phoenix making some noise. Definitely. Definitely. But yeah, those are the latest things in the WNBA so far in this young offseason. So with that being said, once again, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on winning the Super Bowl. This is their third Super Bowl in, I believe, 5 years. We have a dynasty. We have a dynasty. The last dynasty we had in the NFL was the Patriots. And now we have the Chiefs. So again, congratulations to the Chiefs. Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes. Congratulations to Travis Kelce. Congratulations to Andy Reid. Yep. Congratulations, man. Congratulations. With that being said, it's a wrap for this episode. Thank y'all for y'all continued support of the podcast. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all can catch your boy on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podbean. You can find me on Facebook, Dre Day. You can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985. X, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Just thank y'all, man, for the continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 321 is over. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.